Mercy and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Happy New Year. The church begins her year at Advent 1, not when the pagans begin theirs. She begins with the first Sunday in Advent. And she puts things in a deliberate order. Before celebration, there's anticipation and waiting. Before the manger, there's the cross and the passion. Before Christmas trees, there are palm branches. Before there are angels singing in heaven, there are crowds lining the road into Jerusalem. Before Christmas, there's Advent. Advent is the beginning of another church year, and together they announce not that Christmas is coming, but that Christ is coming. With the start of a new year, we are 1 year farther away from Bethlehem and 1 year closer to the parousia, the day of Christ's return. There really are two Christmases, and they don't really even overlap. Commercial Christmas began last week and runs through December 23rd, maybe the 24th, the season of buying and decorating and preparing the way of the feast. And then there is sacred Christmas, which is a full 12 days from December 25th until Epiphany on January 6th. And as always, we'll get there when we get there, if we get there, or perhaps the Lord returns first and our Advent prayers and our hopes are fulfilled. But when we do, I want you to wish all the store clerks and the gas station attendants a Merry Christmas from December 25th all the way until Epiphany. But here we are in Advent, which is distinctly not Christmas. The service is Spartan. The Gloria in Excelsis has departed. Flowers are gone. The organ is muted. Advent is a season of hope, learning how to hope with purpose, how to wait intentionally. Hope is impossible to come by in a secularized rush to Christmas. Thanksgiving ends and the shopping begins. What hope is there in that? Hope that you'll score a great deal on something you probably don't need, would not otherwise have bought if you hadn't seen the ad? So what? Hope that you'll nab the perfect gift for someone that will win you the accolade of most beloved gift giver this year? So what? Hope that you'll have a happy holiday season? If those are the only things for which you hope, woe to you. The mindless commercialism of the culture is not without purpose. It is intended to distract you from the otherwise harsh realities that surround you. Sin and death, hell and the devil. If you can buy just the right thing, get just the perfect deal, plan the perfect meal, hold a perfect party, just improve tomorrow over today, then you can ignore all the more pressing problems around you. So what if there's crisis, catastrophe, calamity just breathing down your neck? At least you have Black Friday and Cyber Monday, right? Liquor sales are off the charts in this season because nobody wants to deal with the grim realities of living in a fallen world. But Advent takes those problems head on as you learn to wait with purpose. What is your biggest problem? You're dying. And you don't have to examine very closely to know that this is true. Your body gets weaker year after year. The presents you gave last year no longer satisfy. The parties you threw last year are forgotten. The world is breaking down. Sickness, suffering, unemployment, depression, sadness, chaos are all the results of sin in the world. And they all herald death. What can you do to stop death's gradual creep? The world around you is hopeless. So we pray, stir up your power, O Lord, and come. Advent gives you something altogether better for which to hope. Hope rides a donkey. After 3 weeks of hearing about Jesus coming as judge, coming to separate the elect from the damned, the sheep from the goats, the foolish virgins from the wise and faithful virgins, The first Sunday in Advent gives you a sure and certain hope. After 3 weeks of Jesus as judge, Jesus riding a white horse, here is Jesus riding a donkey. He comes in today's gospel reading. It always feels peculiar, right? To have a little bit of Palm Sunday at the start of the church year. But here you have Jesus riding humbly on a donkey, not to make war against sinners, but to save them. He will fight, but he will fight in weakness and will win. In him, you have hope beyond the futility of a commercialized Christmas. In Jesus, who comes processing into Jerusalem on a donkey, you have a certain hope, not a milquetoast wish. Luther preached on the first Sunday in Advent, this king is and shall be called sin's strangler and death's devourer, who extirpates sin and knocks death's teeth out. He disembowels the devil and rescues those who believe on him from sin and death. How will you be prepared for the day of your Lord's return? Here you have a Palm Sunday gospel reading at the start of the church year. His first coming will secure for you your eternal salvation and make you prepared for his second coming. Look up. Beloved of God, daughter of Zion, open your eyes and awaken. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Your salvation is closer to you now than when you first believed. So repent, turn away from excuses and sins. Behold, your king is coming to you lowly and riding on a donkey. At the beginning of a church year, the message of Jesus as the only source of hope rings crystal clear. He comes riding into Jerusalem on a donkey to help you deal with those most pressing problems. A king to save you from sin and death, to extirpate sin, disembowel the devil, and rescue those who believe on him. He comes as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, bearing them in his own body on the cross. The only source of hope in a world of death is the one who died on the cross and who rose triumphant. The only certain hope in a life of uncertainty is the word of him who died, who rose, and who will return. The world passes away, but his word endures forever. If you want this hope, this certainty, this secure future, then you need Jesus, of course. And if you want Jesus, you'll find him where he has promised to be for you, in his word and sacraments. Sure, words and water and bread and wine seem like humble ways for the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus the Christ, the Savior from sin and death to be found. But then riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, riding in lowly pomp to die on a cross, is his way of doing things. And it is good news for you. If he can ride into Jerusalem on a donkey and hang on a cross, if he can speak through the mouth of Balaam's donkey, Christ can speak through the mouths of donkey preachers he still sends today, as he promised. If he can choose a donkey as the means to transport him to his throne, the cross, then Jesus can still use donkey means like bread and wine to be the means through which he gives his real flesh and real blood to you for the forgiveness of your real sins. If the eternal Word of God can choose the womb of a virgin girl to be his dwelling place for 9 months, if he can be born ordinarily with human flesh just like yours, then he can use plain water in a donkey way to give you an extraordinary rebirth, as he promised in holy baptism. So let the world rush, be in a frenzy, be anxious. You have hope, and with hope you can wait with purpose. Let the world rush to Christmas. The church gives you Advent. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, no longer riding on a donkey, but riding on bread and wine. The very Son of God, in the flesh, for you. Blessed is he who receives Jesus today in his word and sacraments. Blessed is he whose hope is in the Lord. Blessed will he be when the Lord certainly returns to gather his elect. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.